Hello out there. Welcome to our podcast today. This is Coach EJ, Eric Johnson, the brand.
And this is Coach Aaron Thigpen, no initials, the source. Well, AT, I guess, but no one calls
AT's all right. You know, I don't know if I ever called you AT. Now, I may have to break that out once in a while.
Today's podcast, defining the rest day. Think it's a timely subject because a lot of our athletes that we deal with right now are spring athletes are in season. And a lot of them don't know how to navigate rest and what they should be doing on those recovery days and what they should look like. So let's just take a few brief minutes to talk about that. There's I think, two or three types of rest. There's active rest. And so active rest might be things like light swimming, jogging, cycling, on the days that you don't have competitions or days you don't have practices, kind of your day off. Those are active forms of rest where it's not high intensity, kind of just getting the body back in the flow, being relaxed, loosening up, those sorts of things. I think those are probably the most common that athletes think about when they're thinking of active rest. And then there's passive recovery. That's gonna be things more like your yoga, your stretching. They're not as neurologically charging in terms of, you know, cycling and jogging and that sort of stuff. But they're just kind of, again, you're stretching, you're doing some yoga, you're loosening up, very easy things that you're going to do. The last one would be complete rest. Nothing, nada, niet. You absolutely do nothing. And right. Sometimes, you know, there's some athletes who can't do that, you know, because they're just wound so tight and they feel like they do something. And there's others that just want to do that all the time.
Right. And
you got to kind of, you know, each type of recovery is going to be based on the level of activity, how your body's responding to that activity, and what works for you personally as an athlete. And it can change. It can change, you know, from the beginning of the season. You might be able to do things that are more active mm-hmm. because you're still going to have a lot of your training base underneath you. Right. And you're going to have that energy. Whereas maybe you get late in the season and, you know, you've had a grueling long season. You might just say, hey, look, I'm doing the complete, you know, the complete form of recovery where I'm not doing nothing. And that's okay, too. Mm-hmm. So you just got to kind of try each of them. See how your body responds and then say, okay, that's going to be good for me. So that's kind of where I stand on it.
You know, Aaron, being a former athlete, and even now when I go out and work out and knowing how to recover, am I going to be actively recovering? Am I going to passive recover? Or I'm going to completely rest? Depends on how you feel that day. You can have said it any better. And I think a lot of young athletes, they need to understand that this passive recovery is kind of critical for, you know, getting the body, especially in the middle of the season. And I think a lot of times when they have a high activity, they need to do some yoga to stretch out and get some of that lactic acid out of there, just to get it out of there. Because, you know, that's so detrimental to us, you know, performing at our highest rate is having that lactic acid in our body. And I think a lot of...
Go ahead. I was just going to say, and the good thing about passive activities, think of them as just resetting the body. You're resetting the range of motion. You're resetting the flexibility. You know, all of those things are great. So I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I think they get, you know, some athletes get lost in that, you know, and I think that can lead to a faster recovery and into a greater performance, too, mm-hmm. you know. And I always say this, you know, pitchers, after the pitchers get done throwing, I'm just going to use a pitcher for example. I think it's great to go cycle. I think it's great to go swim and to, you know, just to get that broken up a little bit in there, because they are like high intensity, whole body moving, especially catchers. You know, I think about those two positions a lot, because they are putting a lot of stress on their joints. Mm-hmm. And I think having that ability to swim or cycle and getting the body, the blood flowing into those joints right away, leads to a better recovery. But I think players try to get on a routine and see how a routine works. You can also say, okay, on this day I had a high activity, I'm gonna do this the first day, next day I'm gonna do this to recover, and see how that goes. If that doesn't work, then change how you're recovering or what exercises you use to recover to kind of figure it out for yourself. And then if that routine is good, stick to it. If you see your performance is enhancing or your performance is being really steady and consistent, then stay to a routine and write down, Aaron, write down what you're doing in your journal so you know how you're feeling. And I think a lot of athletes get lost in journaling, and you got to journal. I think it's so important, Aaron.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a simple number system will help you look back and say, hey, you know, that really worked for me. Even when you go back a year, if you look back a year from now, you might say, okay, after I did that recovery routine, I always felt like I was back at an 8 or back at a 9. You know, so what you do is you just say, hey, the day after this workout in your journal entry, or after this recovery day, the next day I was a 5.
Right.
Or I was a 7, or I was a 9. But, you know, that's a very black and white way to kind of, I guess, quantify the success of the recovery modality. So I think journaling is a great way to dial in onto what works for you. And this way you don't forget. Because that's the thing is, if you try so many things and you're not really charting how successful they are, then you're just kind of, you're fishing around. And you want something that's effective, because recovery, and you've said this, you know, you've got recovery affects performance. You're not just recovering just so that you're not tired anymore, or so you're just not sore anymore. You're recovering so that you can have a good performance the next time out, but also continue to have good performances. So I think, you know, I think that's how athletes should look at recovery.
Okay.
Not from the standpoint of can I play, but how well can I play?
Ooh, man, that's fitting right there. How well can I play? And that hits it right on the head, man. You hit around the head of that nail. Aaron, I have a question for you, because it kind of got me to think about this. Do you feel like athletes you train, and you probably have more control of this, of their recovery, because they'll come in and say to you, hey, listen, I don't feel good today. And are athletes really that come to you understand recovery? I mean, you've got professional guys like Robert Stevenson, right-hand pitcher for the Rockies. He understands recovery versus maybe a high school athlete who comes in and I want to go harder. I'm not fast enough. You know, what do you see that with younger athletes? Because you have this range of athletes from 8 to professional athletes. You know, what's your sense of like how you feel about that and kind of like in this industry a little bit and what we do?
Yeah, there is a difference because, you know, youth is that superpower we all have that eventually fades
right
over time. And the thing is, I always say, you know, when you're certain age, you're almost bulletproof and you can do a lot of things, you can make a lot of mistakes, and you know, the body is a wonderful thing that it protects us from ourselves, you know, the idiocy within us. So you can have young athletes, especially And this is probably where it starts. We have pre-adolescent athletes
Okay.
Where they don't really get the lactic acid and the domes or the muscle onset after. So you can be, pre-adolescent, 10, 11, 12, and you can just go.
Okay.
And you can go for hours, and then you can, go eat a hot dog and come back and go for hours again, and you never pay the price.
Right.
And what happens is now athletes are competing in sports much younger, at 6 and at 7. So by the time they're 10, 11, 12, you've got this whole way of operating where you're not stretching, you're not resting, you're not thinking about recovery, because the body is like sprinkled with that pixie dust where you can just do everything all the time, all day.
Right.
So then puberty hits. Mother Nature comes for a visit, and now, I did this workout and I'm sore. I must be hurt. No, you're not hurt. You just experienced some muscle soreness for the first time because your body has changed. Mm-hmm. And so it really comes down to developing habits.
Okay.
And even though the athletes don't experience that at that, pre-adolescent age, you still want to institute those habits there, because then they become a way that they operate as an athlete moving forward. They just, when you do those things early, they just think, this is what I do as an athlete.
Correct.
Versus, this is what I have to do. And that's the distinction that I see. And that's the bridge that it's always hard to get that 12, 13 year old over, because they're thinking, well, I didn't have to stretch before. I've been playing baseball, or I've been playing football or soccer for the last 6-7 years. I never had to stretch before. I never had to, ice down. I never had to do all these things. And it usually doesn't hit them until they've had an injury.
Gotcha.
So I think even just as young athletes and pre-adolescent, you just start to put that in the structure of their routines. And it doesn't have to be anything full blown, but you get them to start to, and again, I'm big on terminology. Maybe don't even call it recovery. Just say, hey, this is how we take care of our body as an athlete.
Right.
Plain and simple, And this is how an athlete takes care of their body. Whatever terminology you want to use, but you just don't say, hey, you have to warm down, you have to do this, you have to, you put it so that they understand it's just a course of what they do in being a high caliber, or in their pursuit of being a quality high caliber athlete. Now, when you get to high school, they get it more, because they've probably had an injury or two, seen some injuries, had the muscle soreness, that sort of thing. And for that group of athlete, it's more about how do I fit it into the routine of all these other things? Because now, maybe pre-adolescent, you can do things post-workout fairly simple. They may not take a lot of time. It might be just as simple as with younger athletes, hey, we're gonna do a light jog cool down and stretch, and it takes all of 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Easy to do. With the high school athlete, because now they've got the muscle onset soreness that they're trying to combat, and all these other, and the fatigue and all these other things, well, now those modalities get a lot more complicated. Now, do I use a compression sleeve of ice? Do I, use a heating pad? Do I use vibration technology, the thumper guns? Those take time, because now you're talking about not just 10 minutes, you're talking about maybe 30, 45, even an hour.
Right.
And those are things that tend to be a lot more aggressive. And then if you're talking some of the other activities, you may have to cycle or jog for 30 minutes, or you have to, stretch or do yoga. And those take more time, and they take more time out of a already busy day. And so how do they insert those things during their routines? And now they have to do that on days where they don't feel any ill effects. Because recovery isn't just when you're feeling tired and sore. Recovery is just a regular part of your routine. Whether you're, even when you're feeling good, you still have to do your recovery.
So true.
It just takes a different, you know, right. Obviously it becomes a greater part of your athletic cycle, but it also becomes more important. And so I think that's the kind of the biggest difference. Once you get to the collegiate and professional athlete, hey, basically your body is your career.
Absolutely.
And so at that point, you don't treat it like a job, because basically it is. Even you and guys in college, they're not paying you for your academics. They're paying you for your athleticism. And that's your, you know, that's your commodity. That's your worth. So you have to take care of that investment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier for those guys because they understand the return that it's going to give them. Whereas, you know, the other ages, the other stages, they don't quite understand it as much.
Well, today our subject was rest and recovery. And again, Aaron, great subject. People, check us out on all our social mediums, you know. Aaron, we got YouTube, right? We got Instagram, we've got Twitter, yep. A lot of different things. So hit us up, check out past subjects too, man. We have a lot of good information out there for you. So this is Coach EJ, the brand.
And Coach Aaron, the source. We'll see you.